Hey, thanks for having me on. It feels like spring, doesn't it?
It does. Now, Barry, you guys are going through mock drafts and you're looking at the players. And we've been having the conversation this year in the draft with quarterbacks. That's one thing Cleveland doesn't have to look at. But how much of it, when you look at the draft, is based on need compared to who is available on the board? Everybody has a different answer for this. More people lean towards if you just have that guy that's a star player, you have to take advantage if he's still out there. But how much do you think, when you look at a draft, that goes into it about picking the best available for that position, or if that guy's still around here, even though we don't need a wide receiver?
Well, that depends on the general manager. I remember when George Young ran the New York Football Giants, he always picked for best player available. Other teams don't. They always take what their roster needs are. And I think traditionally and generally what general managers do is they'll have a list of positions that they need. Let's just say it's six. And when they get to their slot, whatever round it happens to be, they look at their need list versus the best player available. And if the best player available is the one staring them in the face or the one underneath or the one underneath that, they may take that one. But you take a team, say, like the Baltimore Ravens. What if the best player available, when they pick at later in the draft, down at the bottom, what if the best player available was Justin Fields? Do you take a first-round talent like Justin Fields? No. They've got good running backs. What if the best player available is Najee Harris or Travis Etienne? So not all the time, best player available is the correct option.
Barry, when you look right now at the draft, I think Cleveland is a team. Kevin Stefanski, won Coach of the Year, the AP honors, a guy that you saw the drop-off in Minnesota offensively when he was gone, and also the increase in productivity and really consistency, even though Baker still has to work on that overall. But when you look at Cleveland, what do you think is their must-need? If you had to mark one thing, and a lot of fans will just yell the word defense, but what is to you the must-need on the board for the Cleveland Browns?
I would have to say pass rusher and cornerback. And like every other team, you cannot have enough of either position. They have Myles Garrett on one side, and they have Jadeveon Clowney on the other. They signed Tack McKinley, who I didn't think was a good signing. But it would not shock me if they took a defensive lineman in the first round or an edge rusher or somebody that will stop the run. The Browns last year were 30th against the run. They need some run stoppers. But general manager Andrew Berry is not opposed to stacking positions. Last year, he signed middle linebacker B.J. Goodson in free agency, and in the third round, he drafted middle linebacker Jacob Phillips from LSU. He signed Austin Hooper to a huge contract, the tight end. Then in the fifth round, he drafted the Mackey Award winner, Harrison Bryant. So just because you've got players already on the roster doesn't mean that he's not going to take them. Now, for Cleveland, and I don't know about other teams, but you take like Cincinnati, Drew. Cincinnati
Yeah.
needs playmakers, and they need offensive linemen. So when they get to, say, pick number five, and let's say that they keep it, which I think they will, if you've got the tackle Sewell on the board, you've got the other tackle Slater on the board, but then you've got Ja'Marr Chase, you've got Devontae Smith, and Jaylen Waddle, do you go offensive line or do you go playmaker?
Well, to me, I think that you have to look at what happened to Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl and understand that it doesn't matter who you have out there at wide receiver. If you're on your butt, then I think you need to get the offensive lineman. The one thing, too, that I think is the biggest outlier in this, if Joe Burrow hadn't gotten hurt last year, I think the Bengals would take Ja'Marr Chase, and I would be okay with it because of the depth at the in the offensive line class this year. But given that he had that injury, I think it should be a priority to get the best possible offensive lineman and try to just develop that offensive line. And there's enough wide receivers that if you feel the need to, you can get a guy in the second round. in the end, I think it's a win-win, but I would say the offensive line has got to be the number one priority no matter what people are saying and no matter what the chemistry between Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase has been.
I absolutely agree. In fact, The Athletic had a poll of when you get to the first round, do you take playmaker or stud offensive lineman? 60% said offensive line.
Yeah, it's one of those things that, I mean, it's not like the sexiest pick, but down the road, I mean, it could pay some big dividends for Cincinnati if Sewell is it, or, I mean, whether they pick Sewell or Slater, I mean, if they pan out to be dominant offensive linemen, I mean, Andrew Luck's career is a good example, I guess, of what can happen if you don't select offensive linemen, and we've seen the Colts struggle with that beforehand, and by the time they built it up, he was ready to leave, so I don't want that to happen with Joe Burrow because it seems like if they draft Ja'Marr Chase, they might end up going down that same track.
Absolutely. Look at the Browns' turnaround last year. They had great guards. They had a really good center. Their tackles were horrible. Their tackles were a sieve, so they replaced both of them. One, Jack Conklin, a free agent from the Tennessee Titans, and they drafted the big guy, Jedrick Wills, from Alabama. Now, all of a sudden, interceptions go down, pass completions go up, the running game is thriving, the quarterback rating goes up, the incompletions go down, all because of the running game is projected and provided an avenue for this team to set up the pass. And now, all of a sudden, they're winning and going to the playoffs.
Oh, and I think you hit the nail on the head there, and that's something that I think Cincinnati needs to do a little bit of a better job of is getting Joe Mixon the ball, and because he's a good enough playmaker that if he's got some space, he can take some pressure off of the passing game, and then they can build off that run game. And I think the Browns are one of the best teams, if not the best, at doing that. I mean, the play action, Babe Baker was really good last year out of the play action, and they were good enough running the football that defenses had to respect them, and I think that is something that any team would want to have, because if you can have a good balance, then it really makes it tough on a defense to be able to come back at you with all the pieces that you have offensively. And the Browns have plenty of them as far as weapons are concerned, whether it be wide receiver, tight end, or obviously at running back.
Absolutely. And it's not like Cincinnati can't get a playmaker in the second round. I think Rondale Moore out of Purdue would be perfect.
Yeah, they need a guy that has some burst of speed. Obviously, John Ross didn't quite work out, and that was a risky pick for them, which might even scare me a little bit from taking Chase. I would want to get the line first and get your priority out of the way, because Joe, he's good enough that it doesn't matter who in the world he's throwing the ball to. I mean, if he's protected, I think and T. Higgins is good. Tyler Boyd is good. They've re-signed a couple of wide receivers to one-year deals, and I think they'll end up being okay, and the AFC North will be an interesting division to follow. Getting back to the Browns. Getting back to the Browns real quick, Barry, one question that I do have. So CBS Sports has Gregory Rousseau out of Miami going to the Browns at 26th overall. And I know that you say the defensive line is a need. Do you think that, given that they signed Tack McKinley and Jadeveon Clowney just to one-year deals, they can get a guy, and whether he plays that much or not, he can learn under those guys or under Myles Garrett and get rotational snaps, so then next year he is the guy that can be opposite of Myles Garrett on that line?
Absolutely. The Browns have signed five players to one-year deals, and Jadeveon Clowney is one of them. Tack McKinley is the other one. Rousseau produced 19.5 tackles for loss and 15.5 sacks in 2019. Now, he may be a one-year wonder, and he's very, very young, but he's got high production. He is eye-popping, and he's got an exciting physical skill set. Now, his game is underdeveloped, but the beauty of the Browns is that the Browns are not building. They're built.
Mm.
They absolutely can take any player in the draft. They've got nine picks, which nine picks won't make this roster. So let's say that general manager Andrew Berry finagles some trades, and we end up with six players that possibly or probably will make this team. But none of those six, none of those nine, have to produce or have to start day one. That's never happened for the Cleveland Browns. And you being a Cincinnati Bengals fan, you know that's pretty much every season. The first round pick, second round pick, third round pick. You need those guys to start. The Browns can pick six guys and play them sparingly with the idea that when Clowney doesn't re-sign next year or somebody else doesn't re-sign or they get rid of Odell Beckham Jr. or Jarvis Landry's ready to retire. Another thing is I think the Browns are going to need to draft a running back this year. Nick Chubb is in his contract year. The Browns are an analytics team. Analytics don't say pay a guy $15 million a year on a five-year contract. You look at what Ezekiel Elliott signed with the Dallas Cowboys, six-year deal, $65 million guaranteed. The Browns, with analytics, don't say to pay a person like that. So here you got Chubb in his contract year. They've got Kareem Hunt signed for next year. But after that, who's going to be the running back? It wouldn't shock me if they let Chubb play out his contract this year, franchise him next year, and then all those number 24 jerseys that people have paid for and are wearing every Sunday, it's going to be a new guy coming in. I hate to say that, but I see that happening.
Well, I hope that you don't take Trey Sermon because I think he'd be a good fourth-round addition to the Bengals because they also need a running back since they lost Giovanni Bernard to the Buccaneers. So hopefully, I'm sure he wouldn't mind staying in Ohio, and the Browns would obviously love to pick him up, especially if it's in the later rounds for a guy that had a bunch of production at Ohio State.
Sermon's a good player, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think it's something, too, where we got a lot of players in this draft that it's really hard to analyze the exact movement from college football to the NFL because we've seen so many guys at the quarterback position, the Joe Flaccos, the guys like Big Ben Roethlisberger, Carson Wentz, that we didn't watch every day at Delaware, or Tony Romo at Eastern Illinois. And the difference is if we start judging that like we're doing with Trey Lance, you're already going to fail compared to some quarterbacks. You hear Alabama or these names, and the track record shows that the McElroys or A.J. McCarrons haven't worked out. I think we need to look at the individuals, but, you know, I feel this year, and it could just be me, but Barry, I feel like we're getting a lot of negative attention on a lot of players that don't deserve it, like Devontae Smith. I understand it is okay to go into the draft and know that he weighs 166, but if you watched him last year and you didn't have to hear that he's 4 pounds less than what they had him on the roster, this guy dominated every one of these guys in the draft, and to me, there's nothing to say he's not going to do that at the next level.
Absolutely, and their only negative is that of his weight. I remember Jerry Rice ran a 4.62. Everybody said he can't run. Joe Montana, he's too short. I remember being in a group at the Senior Bowl years and years ago, and we were all interviewing Russell Wilson of Wisconsin, and after we did the interview, and I asked maybe two questions, and then everybody else was asking questions, a guy turned to me and he said, "He sounds like he acts like he's going to play in this league." And I said, "I guess." that happens. Joe Montana was short. Drew Brees was a second-round choice. I mean, look at Brady being a sixth-round choice. You just don't know. Tony Romo was undrafted. Let me ask you this, Chad. The Patriots definitely need a quarterback. And whether they take one like Kyle Trask later or Kellen Mond later, what do you think the Patriots would have to do, or what slot would they have to do to get one of these five quarterbacks?
I don't know at this point if – I think sometimes there's one or two quarterbacks that we start to get a little hesitant about. I think the only quarterback that would have been in this draft would have been Mac Jones, just based on people saying he was a system guy, and that would have made them afraid of him being able to take over in a league that a lot of people see today as more of a run-first type league. If you think about the quarterbacks, Baker Mayfield, Lamar Jackson, guys all over the AFC, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, the best quarterbacks, Russell Wilson's, they all can – they're dual threat. They can create both ways, where Mac Jones and Kyle Trask, they really can't in this draft. I think now that – it looks like Mac Jones, from what we're hearing, and it could be speculation. It looks like he's going to San Fran at 3, or the potential of not Justin Fields anymore. I think that the Pats would be ecstatic to get Fields. I just don't think there's a way that he's going to be on the board to 15. So based on that, I think that they, if they see a quarterback at about 9 or 10 still available, I do see Belichick making a trade up or making a trade with the Niners later on for Jimmy Garoppolo. I'm not giving up on that idea. If we've heard he's going to be the guy, but if San Francisco drafts a quarterback and the Patriots or team offers a first-rounder, a second-rounder, a couple other picks for Jimmy, they will trade him. So there's the intrigue factor there. I think they go with a linebacker or another piece in this draft, but I don't know. I would hope that if Kyle Trask is still available and they still need a quarterback, they take him. But, Barry, it's really hard to judge this, and you can see I'm going everywhere here. I'm sort of floundering on this just because it's so hard to know what Bill Belichick and that team's going to do. I mean, every single year they do something that everybody else that breaks down, they never pick the guy that everybody else thinks they're going to pick, like Kyle Duggar last year from Lenoir Ryan, who UWF played. So right. I just don't – to answer that question, I'm trying to give you my best ability to analyze it, but I'm sure they'll go in a different direction.
Yeah, and Kyle Duggar lit up the Senior Bowl last year. I thought he'd be an early third-round pick, and he went in the second, but he absolutely – lit up every receiver that he covered in the Senior Bowl last year, so that did not shock me. And I don't remember Belichick ever really mortgaging the farm to go up and get a guy. He's usually the guy that drops back, and then he drops back, and then he drops back again, and finally he'll take a guy. But I think if they're going to get one of the top five quarterbacks, I believe he's going to have to go up to probably 8 or 9. 8 with the Carolina Panthers, 9 with the Denver Broncos. I think at 9, all 5 of those quarterbacks are going to be completely gone. Who do you think will be the last quarterback taken in the first round?
This whole Davis Mills fiasco to me, I'm just not – I don't know. If I've watched a guy play with my two eyes and there's nothing to say this guy's going to wow factor me, then I have a pretty good track record of not being wrong if I've watched a guy and say, this guy's just not that good. Like Dwayne Haskins, I watched him, and I was like, I don't think this guy is going to be a good quarterback in the NFL. And people were like, no, man, give him some time. I was like, no, he's not an NFL everyday quarterback. There's other guys like Sam Darnold who there's still an intrigue factor. He hasn't looked great, but I'm not ready to completely give up because he's only played for Adam Gase and an awful New York supporting cast. So I'm willing to give him another chance. But the difference is, I look at a lot of these guys in the draft, and Davis Mills, the name, I hope he doesn't go in the first round. So I believe that you're going to have the quarterbacks we talked about, which is obviously Trevor and Zach, and then you're going to have Trey Lance, Justin Fields, and Mac Jones. So I do believe you're going to get 5 in the first round.
Right, and I think some people were thinking Davis Mills might sneak in the bottom of the first, like maybe to the Buccaneers. But I don't think his knee is going to get a medical clearance before the draft, and I think a lot of teams are actually going to take him off their board instead of him sneaking in. Somebody may take him in the 3rd, 4th round. I know he came out of high school. He was a 5-star recruit, but when you have knee injuries, I believe that when you get to the pros where players are bigger, faster, stronger, come at you quicker, it's a different ball game 100%. I also think that there's going to be very few running backs taken in the first round. I think Travis Etienne of Clemson will go first, and he may be the only one, although I do think that Najee Harris might sneak in. I'd expect maybe the Washington football team to take Etienne at 19 if they stay put, and the Steelers need a running back.
Yep.
I could see them taking Najee Harris at 24.